matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand for your life.
Troubles, they don't last always. For this. This is a homegoing celebration. And we are in a church because we come to this place and we live this way because of the hope that God extends us for life and for death. And in this house this morning, this afternoon, we don't walk meekly and timidly to this place, but we step to this moment with a boldness that is born of the Word of God, born of the Spirit of the living God. And so we celebrate and we lift high the mantle of God today. And we defy death, knowing that resurrection is sure and that there's going to be another day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're in church. Now, if you're not used to this, I want you to know that the guest of honor is used to this. This is her church, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We're not going to go about this any other way. We're going to have church today. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is not about you. This is about Sister Jewel. Sister Jewel loves church. She loves coming to church. All right. So, this is how we'll conduct the business today. Let's pray. Mighty God, we love you and we give you all praise and thanks. We thank you for your eternal promise. We thank you, God, for these that have gathered here today, truly for an occasion to celebrate. Your word is a rock beneath our feet today. We stand upon your promise. We thank you for the life and the testimony of our dear sister. We pray your hand of blessing on all who are in this house today, that your Spirit would comfort and strengthen. And everybody say, in Jesus' name.
Sister Jewel over at the house door. And we just hang out sometimes, and she enjoyed singing the old hymns. And if I can keep it together, if y'all don't mind, I just want to sing one last hymn from Hannah. Thank you.
In love and memory of Jewel Dean Corey, born November 26, 1929, in Vinemont, Alabama. She passed from this life October 8, 2006. She was preceded in death by her parents, Hoyt and Codell Allen, her husband, Frank Corey, a son, Stanley Mullins, and a stepson, Frank Corey Jr. She is survived by her daughter, Shirley, and husband, Jim Corey of Pinson, Alabama, and her daughter, Tammy, and Blaine, her husband, Cox of Kimberly, Alabama, stepson, Tom, and wife, Debbie Corey of Indianapolis, Indiana, stepdaughter, Renee, and husband, Steve Baker of San Antonio, Texas, four grandchildren, Melody and husband, Dawson Sutton, Amber Corey, Dustin Corey, and Dakota Cox, five step-grandchildren, Lynette and husband, Mike Curtis, Tim and wife, Amanda Corey, David Corey, Casey Corey, and Carrie Corey, 10 step-great-grandchildren, brother J.W. Allen, and a sister, Etoy Nations, and a host of family and friends.
It was so much fun growing up around Aunt Jewel. She was always my favorite aunt, and I have so many wonderful memories that began with my childhood and have continued through my life today. Aunt Jewel was a wonderful, loving, caring, godly lady, and she was a lady with a big, big heart, a giving lady. Some of my fondest memories were my growing up years, when I would go and stay at her house. What fun we had and what trouble Shirley and I could get into. Shirley, do you remember all the nights we stayed up giggling, and Aunt Jewel would come there every few minutes telling us to shut up and get to sleep? And then we'd try to slip out so Shirley wouldn't have to take her 30-minute piano lesson. We wanted to go out and have fun. Do you remember when Aunt Jewel made us our matching dresses? We were just young little girls, and we would visit our grandmother up at the Eva Church, and she was so proud of me and Shirley. She thought we were the grandest things and that we could sing. And Aunt Jewel made us matching dresses one day for us to go up there for our special singing debut at Eva Church. We giggled about all the way through it. We didn't make it through the song. I remember much later in life when Aunt Jewel found out that Mike and I were coming to New Life Church. She was so excited. I cannot tell you how many times every service she would come up to me and Mike, and we'd laugh about it on the way home. Did she say it to you? I'm going, yeah. She'd come up and say, I am so glad you and Mike come to church here. This is the best church. We have revival church every service. And she meant that. She loved this church. She loved her pastor, her pastor's wife, and all the people here. She talked about y'all when at the hospital, and she'd tell me who had come to see her and who had sent cards. She loved this church, and this was her life. And these last several months have been very hard, but we have made some special memories to help carry us through. Do y'all remember the bag of snacks we had in the room? And one Sunday I went up there to sit with Aunt Jewel, and Tammy had been there that day. And she said, Charlotte, Tammy brought me all kinds of sugar-free candy. And before I left that night, I was told to hide that candy so nobody could get it. So I was finding little cubby holes to hide her sugar-free candy that Tammy had brought her. And Aunt Jewel told me one night, she said, Charlotte, Shirley's my mother now, and Tammy, she's my daughter because she's the baby. And she was spoilt, and Aunt Jewel knew it too. But Aunt Jewel loved her daughters. They were so special to her and all of her family. And I will always cherish the memories that we made together. And I'm glad that I can say that Aunt Jewel did, in fact, fight a good fight. She finished her course, and she kept the faith, and she went out in style.
Well, first off, I'd like to say thank you to the family for asking me to speak today. And it is a privilege and an honor to be able to speak about my friend Jewel. She was very precious to me. I took the liberty to look up Jewel in the Webster's Dictionary. And the part of the definition that I liked was a person that is treasured and esteemed. And that defines Jewel in my thinking. She was a treasure in my life. As I look back over my life and I think of her, she was a treasure. And I couldn't esteem her more in my thinking. She was very precious to me. Sister Jewel and I met, and I was only 19 years old. I was a new babe in Christ, for I'd only been baptized in Jesus' name and filled up with the Holy Ghost just a few short weeks, and we became friends. And Sister Jewel opened her home to me, and I was able to move in and live with her. And it was such a blessing, and God only knows what a difference she made in my life. My life was truly a mess before I came to Christ, and not only Sister Jewel, but this whole body of Christ that she loved and held so dearly helped in carrying me and making, helping me get through life and get to where I am today. Sister Jewel, it was always fun to be with her on Sunday mornings, something that you guys probably do not know. But in her home, she had a system with speakers throughout the whole house where she could turn the radio on. And on Sunday morning, it was a blast because she'd just kick that radio up as loud as it would go. And she would dance around and sing the whole Sunday morning as we were getting ready for church. And I always was tickled at that because the music was so loud. And she had her favorite songs. And her very favorite song, and I know because she told me, was The God on the Mountain is Still God in the Valley. And she would just sing that song that one would play over and over and over. And I can still hear her singing that song today. Another great memory with Sister Jewel was coming home after work. I would open the door and the aroma of her fresh soups would just hit me. She made great soup. And I loved the smell. I had been through some really rough years and home life was not what it was supposed to be. But when I walked in that home and smelled that soup, I felt like I was home. And I was privileged to be able to sit down and eat with her. And not only did she make good soup, she made the world's best cinnamon rolls. There's no doubt about it. She made the best cinnamon rolls. And I will forever, when I eat a cinnamon roll, I will think of her. Because Cindy's cinnamon rolls just didn't have anything on her. Hers were just wonderful. And I know when I lived with her as a young girl, I wasn't real clean. I left too many lights on. I drank way too many of her Diet Cokes. But she never complained to me. She was always sweet and kind, and I appreciate that. Through the years, Sister Jewel has always been faithful to tell me when she is happy, when she's been happy for me. When Tony and I married 16 and a half years ago, she was there, and she told me that she was happy for me, that she's happy for what God was doing in bringing a man in my life and a great marriage. And I appreciate that. We built a home over in Inverness and a few years after we were married, and she was there to tell me she was happy for me. And even though she may have been in a valley herself, she always made a point to say that she was happy for me. I have four lovely children God has blessed me with. And with my babies, she was always there and always telling me, I am happy for you and what God's doing for you. And my first son, Anthony, when he was born, she came into the hospital room with this one-step photo, you know, these cameras that take the little one step. And she snapped the picture of Anthony and whirled around in the room. And she was so happy for me and happy about this baby. And then she came back to the church with the first picture, you know, so she could show the picture. And so she brought that picture back and ushered in my baby as she did all of them. And I appreciate that. That was a joy to me to know that she was happy for me. There's one child on the way that we're adopting from China. She won't be here to snap a picture and rush it into the church, but I know that she'll see the good thing that's happening in our life. And I'll remember her, and I'll think, Jewel's happy for me today. She never failed to tell me that she was happy for me and throughout my life. And I don't want to fail today to tell her something. I'm going to miss her, no doubt. She is definitely going to be missed. But Sister Jewel, today I am happy for you.
It was such a lovely day. The sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud inside. Then suddenly, without warning, storm surrounded my life. But even in the storm, I could feel a calm. And here's the reason why. I know the peace speaker. I know him by name. Yes, he does. When he says, peace be still, winds have to obey. I'm glad I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by name. There's never been another man with the power of this friend. By simply saying, peace be still, he can calm the strongest wind. And that's why I never worry when storm clouds come my way. I know that he is near to drive away my fear, so I can smile and say, yes, I know the peace speaker. I know him by name. I know the peace speaker.
Said, praise the Lord. Now, given the circumstances of our meeting here today, theology is a very important thing. And your understanding at a time like this is crucial. There was a day in the Old Testament narrative where Saul met with the prophet Samuel after Samuel had passed away. And he was still Samuel. And he had Samuel's attitude. And he spoke with Samuel's attitude to Saul and put him in his place. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration in the New Testament record, Jesus stands transfigured with Elijah and Moses. Thousands of years, generations after they had walked in this temporal or earthly journey. But they were yet Elijah and they were yet Moses. When John the Revelator is getting the book of Revelation, he has encounters with angels. And he had an encounter with one that in the moment of his tour guide's presentation, John was overwhelmed by what he was seeing, and he fell down to worship. And the man said, "No, see that you don't do this, because I am one of your brethren." He was talking to an elder brother who had already gone on and passed through the veil of death, now was in the service of God on an entirely different level. When the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 died in the same fashion, Lazarus had an angelic escort into the presence of God. We won't speak today of where the rich man found himself. But I want you to know that if the world doesn't understand it, and if your fears are speaking to you today, you need to understand where the Word of God is concerning this event that we are commemorating here today. This is not the termination of a personality and the end, terminally, the end of a life. This is a transition from a temporal passage into an eternal spiritual estate with God. And I would tell you that this point, this juncture, is what life is all about. Now, I don't mean to be insensitive to the pain of the family in saying goodbye, or all of the friends or the host of family members that have gathered here today, but we are at church, and we need to talk about why it's important that we live this way and we walk this way. And if Sister Jewel could step up and stand here today, she would be able to tell you, "I've been to a place where death can't go, and I've been to a place where the light never goes out, and I'm standing in a place, I'm in the presence of God." And you've got to rejoice in your spirit for her today. This is not an end, but this is a beginning. Well, praise God. And your theology determines your culture. You need to have proper theology about death. You don't need to be afraid of it. You need to be ready for it. Praise God. It ought not be a cloud hanging over you today. It ought to be a portal in the distance that you can see and say, "Bring it on, because I'm going up and I'm going on and I'm going to see and be something that I've never been before." Everybody say, praise the Lord. So, Malachi chapter 3, precious passage of scripture here. And I thought about it instantly for this service. The prophet Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. God hears it when you talk about him. God heard Sister Jewel quite often because she talked a lot about the things of God. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. No pun intended there. And as a man spareth his own son, that serveth him. Praise God. Now the scripture says simply that the death of his saints is precious to God. He knows how rough this is. He's walked it already. He knows what betrayal feels like. He knows what pain and sickness and death are like. He knows what you're going through. And when you die and pass on into the arms of God, it's precious in the eyes of God. Now, the world can't get on board with that because this is their hope. But the apostle said, we don't grieve like the world grieves because we've got hope. Praise God. I met Sister Jewel 20 years ago, and I was just coming to the Birmingham area, and we were just beginning the business of starting this church project. And she was, I guess, 57. And she had been to the wars, and she had been to the graveyard, and she had seen some dreams die, and dreams die hard. She was a veteran by the time I met her. The glint of youth was gone, and she had been tempered by the journey. And I met a lady, I guess after 20 years of being her pastor, I would have to distill my impression of her as, I guess in a singular word, I would say Sister Jewel was faithful. She was faithful. I found her, and I think about her today in those terms, a quiet faithfulness, a dogged determination, a resilient faithfulness. Always faithful to her family and to the things of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I saw in those 20 years, I saw young adults like Sister Kim and others drawn to her. And that's an interesting thing because not all adults and older folks have that magnetism for young people. But Sister Jewel had that. And I don't know if they saw in her a surrogate mother or a grandmother, but maybe they saw in her eye something that they wanted. She had a determination in her eye that said, I've been through the valley and I'm still here. I've been through the wars and I'm still here. I've seen the trouble and I'm still in the house of God. I appreciate her for her faithfulness and sweetness of spirit. And you might say, well, everybody just acts that way for the pastor, but I don't believe that. She was faithful to her church. She was faithful as a witness. She told everybody about her church, and she invited everybody to her church. She brought visitors all along the path of those 20 years that we were connected here in this church family. She's been very, very faithful to her family. Through the years, I've seen a lot of folks visit New Life with Sister Jewel, and she'd be so excited when people would come to church because, you know, she told a lot more about it than those that actually came. And some of you are here visiting with her today, some perhaps for the first time. I want to congratulate you that you have heeded her call and that you've come to visit the house of God. And she'd be very excited about that today. Now, I don't know what your theology is, but I believe they see and know what's happening down here. Well, you do what you want with it. Moses and Elijah showed up to talk to Jesus about the cross.
and about what he was going to suffer there at Calvary. Well, let me tell you about Jewel's church. And I have to do this because this is what she'd want. She'd want you to know about her church. And you're not in a Sunday night service, and you're not here on a Sunday morning, so it's not quite the same, but she'd want you to know about her church. I have no greater joy than to see our little elders, and we've got this rough, loud music and singing, and Sister Bonnie starts cranking, and people start looking for her. And you see Sister Jewel and these little ladies just sitting there. We've got a wild church. And they love it. I didn't know she played loud music in her house. Let me tell you about her church. Everybody is welcome at Sister Jewel's church. Everybody's welcome. It's like Jesus said, whosoever will can come and drink of the waters of life freely. It's like he taught in the parable of the net. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea, and it catches all kinds of fish. It's filled with all kinds of fish. Aren't you glad they let you in? Aren't you glad they let you in? Sister Jewel was happy with it being a multicultural church where everybody's welcome. And she would just invite everybody to come to church. She wasn't looking for a particular type of person. She wanted everybody to come. Praise God. I got a kick out of her at the nursing home where she was there toward the end. And she would just take you on a tour and show you. She'd tell you everybody's business. She knew everybody's business. And she'd say, she doesn't understand much, but she likes it when I hug her. And and I guarantee you, she invited everybody on that staff to come to her church. Praise God. Her church is, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and ground of truth. It's a place where even though you've been through the troubles of life, you still feel the stability of the promise of the Word of God. A lot of things being touted as truth in this world today, but the church is the pillar and ground of truth. She loved a church that was built on a rock. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been through a storm or not, but it is surely a comfort to be standing on the rock of the name Christ Jesus and the word of the living God. Ephesians chapter 2, the apostle says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, there are a lot of imitations, and there are a lot of things that say that they are a church, but listen to me. If it's not built upon the word of God, if it's not built upon what the apostles and the prophets has said, I just want you to know it's not where Sister Jewel would have been. Her church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Her church opened its doors in A.D. 33 on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And I don't know how comfortable you are with this today, but I'll tell you, if Sister Jewel was here, she'd be saying amen. Amen. That's right. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Now, that was a huge international festival in Israel, and there were people from many, many different nations there, from all over the Mediterranean basin and Asia Minor, and the scripture lists them here. But they had questions about it, and when they began to ask questions, Peter began to preach the very first sermon of the church era. The church was born on this day, and the first message of the church was preached on this day. Chapter 2 and verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus who you crucified both Lord and Christ." He identified for that street full of Jews that they had crucified the Messiah when he came. When he spoke those words, it thrust itself through their heart. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" It's the first apostolic message, and it's the first apostolic altar call. And men for the first time in the church age said, "What are we supposed to do? We already killed him. I've already sinned. I've already taken my place with the world. I've already made my mistakes. Now, what can I do?" And here comes the hope from eternity down into the streets of Jerusalem on this day. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and your children, those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.'" You ought to shout about it. There's hope in the house today because there's a church. There's hope in the house today because there's a message of hope from God. There's a remedy for my sin. There's a remedy for my mistakes. And we haven't come under the weight, the crushing weight of hopelessness and despair here today. But we walk into this moment with the boldness of the Holy Ghost of God and the power of the name of Jesus. And we really do believe this word of God. Go ahead and clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You have church like you want to have church, but this is Jewel's church. And I know her well enough to know she'd say, "That's, you did good. You're doing good. That's good." Praise God. As that church began to expand, according to Jesus' prophecy in Acts chapter 1, he said, "You're going to be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And in the narrative account of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, 10, and chapter 19, you have instances where that gospel goes forth into diverse people groups. In Acts chapter 8, it goes to the Samaritans. The message is the same: repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. To the Gentiles, who are like you and I are today, in the house of Cornelius at Caesarea, there is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost as Peter is preaching to them, and then he takes them directly out and baptizes them in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 19, Paul finds a group of believers who have only had a limited experience from a guy by the name of Apollos, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, and he had baptized them unto repentance like John the Baptist baptized. And when the apostle Paul finds him, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" There are people all over this town that'll tell you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said, "Have you received it since you believed?" He understood it was separate, definable experiences. They said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost." He said, "Well, how are you baptized?" They said, "Like John baptized." He said, "That's the problem." And he took them down and he baptized them in Jesus' name. And he laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. That's Jewel's church. It's been 2,000 years, and we're still preaching repentance. Praise God. We're still preaching baptism in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of sin, and we're still preaching the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Now, we could spend some time today on things that began 300 years after this initial birth of the church. But you don't want to draft doctrine from something three centuries late. And we could talk today about something that was birthed 1,500 years after this birthing of the church here. You surely don't want something that's a millennial and a half beyond the fact. You don't need to read the commentary of a man. You need to read the commentary of God. It's built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Praise God. Sister Jewel's church is a worshiping church. We clap our hands, all you people. We shout to God with a voice of triumph. We praise Him on stringed instruments and organs and high-sounding cymbals and loud cymbals and... We praise Him with a timbrel and with a dance because the Word of God says so. That's Sister Jewel's church. That's the church she loved. That's the church she was inviting you to. And here you've come, and I really, really wish it was a Sunday night. And I really do wish that we could crank this thing up and treat it like a Sunday night. Praise God. She attended and she loved and she fellowshipped a holiness church. For the apostle said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I know what the world says, but they've always been wrong. They were wrong in the day of Noah. They're wrong today and they're going to be on the wrong side of the world's not going to get you there. You need to embrace this word of God. You say, I don't know what holiness is. Well, you need to find out what holiness is. We're not going to go there today. But she loved a holiness church, and she lived a holiness lifestyle. Praise God. And she loved a church that had a promise of resurrection. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. The apostle deals with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and selected verses. Verse 35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Verse 44, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the earthy. Of the heavenly. 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to stop here and tell you that angel has that trump in his hand right now. North Korea is playing around with a nuke. Iran wants a nuke. Friend, prophecies coming to pass on every hand. I wouldn't wait another hour until I got my heart right with God. There's going to be a great meeting in the air, and you need to have a reservation. 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I want you to know what you're feeling here, and what we're behaving like today is a demonstration of what people do when they have right theology and they know that death doesn't swallow up victory, but victory swallows up death. We have victory. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, praise God. Sister Jewel is not defeated in death, but her victory is just beginning to break forth. And the apostle shouts, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Remember that one that you all ganged up on? Yeah, 2,000 years ago at Golgotha outside Jerusalem, you all came like vultures to take him down like you took every other man down. But on the third day, he kicked the door off of that grave and he rose again, eternal, immortal, unchangeable. This is his daughter. This is his child. And this body is going to live again by the word of the living God. Well, that's more theology. Job said, if the worms get me, I'm still in this body going to see the Lord. You can't mess up God's plan. He's going to bring this all back together again. Everything that sin and earth and death has robbed her of, God's going to restore every bit of it. God's going to restore every bit of it. There's a promise in this house today. Praise God. Praise God. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. We don't sorrow like the world sorrows. You can't help a broken heart. But there's an upsurge of joy in this house tonight, today. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, I should comfort you with these words. Because I'm at such a loss to be able to comfort you in the hurt and in the pain. But the word of God says that this word will comfort you. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Praise God. Could we just pray right now? Lord God, mighty God, we give you all praise and thanks and we bless you. We thank you for the privilege of standing in your house among your people. We thank you, Lord God, for this, another one of your children that has gone over to the other side and yet even at this moment stands in your presence. We pray, Lord, your healing and comfort upon these that are weary in body and broken in spirit and that are suffering from the loss of their mother or their aunt or their friend and their sister. I just pray, God, you'd lift them and bless them and strengthen them right now. I pray, God, you'd go with each of them and help them and prosper them and strengthen them in all that they do. And I ask that you'd do it all in Jesus' name. And everyone say, in Jesus' name, praise God. God bless you.
At the end of this homegoing celebration, I'd like for you to stand, if you would. Take out the pink leaflet that we gave you as you entered the door today. And we're going to sing one of Sister Jewel's favorite songs, as selected by her daughter, Tammy. And I want us to just worship God and sing this song. I believe she would like this. Amen.
Will some glad morning when this life is over, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Yeah, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. This life have grown, I'll fly away. Yeah, like a bird from
prison bars have flown, I fly away. A few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Well, to a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. Sing it now. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah. By and by, I'll fly away once again. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Well, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, can we sing it one more time? Well, I worship him this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. There will be no procession to the gravesite, no gravesite service. There will be a recessional now for the family. They're going to gather in the foyer for a moment together. And then afterwards, there is a meal prepared over in the fellowship hall for you, for the family. And we, again, God bless you, everyone.